You say, well, Bill, are you beating up Eve? What every woman should know and learn, and is this: you must beware of lies, because Satan is still lying. Do you understand?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Friday and welcome. Let's get right into Pastor Bill's study today as he continues his series from 1 Timothy with the conclusion to the message, What Every Woman Should Know. Now, Pastor Bill.
Is there a possibility that some of the false teaching was coming from women? Why? Because in Ephesus, there at the temple of Diana or the temple of Artemis, man, listen, female dominance ruled supreme because it was all about women. Does that make sense? So that was a cultural mindset there in Ephesus to begin with. Now, so with all that being said, no doubt that some of them were, the women were false teaching. They were teaching fables and so forth. Even Paul says over in 1 Timothy 4:7, he says, Timothy, avoid old wives' fables or old wives' myths. See, they were spreading them everywhere throughout the church and was creating all kinds of division. Let me give you a few examples. In 1 Timothy 1:6, it says, from which some have strayed. They've fallen away from the faith. It says, and have turned aside to idle tales. In other words, stories and legends and myths and talking about goddesses and, you know, Diana, Artemis, whatever. And it says, and they want to be teachers of the law. Well, if you're going to teach the law, that's not necessarily here the law of Moses, okay? But if it was the law of Moses, that means you better be trained to teach the law of Moses, right? But they weren't trained because Paul says they don't even know what they're teaching. They don't even know what they affirm. They don't even know what they're saying. But they wanted to be. They yearned to be teachers, it says. How about this one? 1 Timothy 5:15. For some, and those some mean the young widows, it says, having already turned aside for Satan. Let me give you one more. 2 Timothy 3:6. For this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. They're always learning, but they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Question, did these some, which included women in Ephesus, did they desire to teach? Yes. Did they desire in the fellowship to have authority over the fellowship and man? Yes. Again, why? The culture that they were coming out of, okay? So that's one of the reasons that this was happening. You see, because of Diana of the Ephesians, that false goddess, see, they exalted women. And not only did they exalt women, they taught that they were superior to men. You know, if you study out mythology, and I don't even recommend doing that, but if you did, you'd find out that Diana, she was considered a perpetual or eternal virgin, never married. Therefore, women looked up to her and they said, look at her. The goddess Diana, she doesn't need a man. She managed her entire life, and she's over men. Does that make sense? And so that was the mindset of thousands and thousands and thousands of women there that were in Ephesus. So Paul is bringing correction. Now, is Paul saying that all women in the church, that they are excluded from teaching God's word? No, of course not. That's not what Paul is saying at all. Can women teach other women? Yes, can women teach children in the kids' church? What would we do without the women in the kids' church? Amen? Oh, dear God. Listen, how about Priscilla and Aquila? You know, great friends of Paul. If you'll notice, go do a search through the Bible, Acts and so forth. You'll find, if I'm not mistaken, that Priscilla, who is the wife, Aquila is the husband, her name is mentioned before his name many times. And you know why? Well, that she was a great leader. Do you understand? And whenever Apollos came, I think that's Acts chapter 19. I could be wrong. Maybe it was 18, but it's right there in that area. He comes and he is preaching, man. And all of a sudden, what does Priscilla do? After Apollos is finished, he pulls him aside and corrects him and says, "You're not teaching the right gospel, brother. Do you understand?" Well, that was done by a woman. You know, women have incredible knowledge of God's word, sometimes more than the man. Come on. Okay. Now, it was the men and women in the early church that turned their world upside down for Christ Jesus. And listen, I would be amiss to say that I wasn't thankful for the Mary and the Marthas at Calvary Chapel. I give thanks for them. I mean, listen, they work, they serve, they love, they have a pastor's heart. Do you understand? Oh, I just thank God for all that they are doing. But in verse 12, this much heated issue then and today, we want to really bring it down to this, because there's a debate today like never before. Can a woman be a pastor and have authority over the church and over all the men, over everyone? Do you find that in Scripture? And here's the verse that is used for that, Galatians 3:28. There's neither Jew, Greek, slave, free, neither male, female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. Is that true? Of course it's true. Is every woman and every man and every person equal in the eyes of God? Yes, absolutely. No, listen, you know, we've all been empowered by the same Spirit. We've all been saved the same way. And what happens today is verse 12 is treated as a chauvinistic spirit. Men are just chauvinistic. Or that it's discrimination against women. That's not what it's about at all. We don't interpret the Bible that way. I don't. I do proper biblical interpretation. It's not based on discrimination or whether I like a woman or not. I like women. I like men. I love the body of Christ. Amen? Now, so with all that being said, can a woman be the pastor of a church? Because that's today is, boy, I mean, there are denominations and stuff that, yes, you can. And, you know, I mean, I've preached in many churches in America, charismatic churches, Pentecostal churches, and so forth. In some of the churches that I've ministered in, the woman and the man are both considered pastors. Now, but here's the problem. I don't find anywhere in the Bible where a woman is serving as a priest. I don't find anywhere in the Bible examples of women serving as elders or having any sermons recorded in the New Testament. So can a woman be a pastor over a local assembly like here and over the men, over everyone else? Well, I have no record in the New Testament of that occurring. Do you follow me? Is that prejudice? No, it's just a matter of biblical interpretation. But let's find out why. Let's look at the very first reason that Paul gives, and he gives it to us in verse 13. He says the reason is this. For gives us the reason, okay? For Adam was formed when? First, then Eve. So because Adam was first in creation, Adam is over that. Does that make sense? Yes. You know, again, why did Paul say this? It's so important. You know, the reason that he said because Adam was created first is because of the setting of Ephesus. In other words, see, Diana was the firstborn. Does that make sense? Her brother, her twin brother, was in labor, I guess, for, I don't know, 9 days. If you've ever studied that out, it's not real. I don't know why I read it. But he was secondborn, and he was a man. He had no authority. She had the authority because she was the firstborn. So that firstborn was being taught at Ephesus as a fable. Do you follow? Are y'all following me? See, once we understand the background here, this letter comes in a deeper way and a deeper meaning to us. And so that's why Paul used these certain languages and so forth. It says this in 1 Corinthians 11:8, "For man is not from woman," in other words, man didn't originate from woman, "but woman from man. Nor was man created for the woman, but woman for the man." Now listen, you know this, I know this, talking about, we go all the way back to creation. Only Adam was made from the dust of the ground by the Lord. Amen? Eve came from Adam, from his rib. God, you know, divinely knocked him out, stole a rib from him, and built a woman. He woke up and said, "Whoa, you know, bone of my bone." You bet. It's killing me, you know. But never mind. Everybody else ever born after Adam and Eve, they were always, there's only one way to be born, and that's by natural birth. And that's, it is. So men and women have different God-given roles, but they are equal to man in the eyes of God. Amen? Listen, if a man really wants to have victory in Christianity and as a Christian, stay in your God-given role. If a woman really wants to have victory in her walk with God, get in your place. Get into your God-given role. Man didn't give it to you. Do you follow me? God gave it to you. And if God gave it to you, it is absolutely perfect. It is divine. It's filled with power. And that's where you want to be. So our text this morning is what I just read. There comes the confusion today because of the world we live in over all of the gender confusion. In other words, you know, we look in the days that we're living in, marriage is gone. I mean, it's completely redefined. Men can marry men, women can marry women, or whatever they're doing today, and so forth. Children can decide their gender, and it's just crazy. It's heartbreaking, isn't it? And one of the myths of today's feminist ideology is this about feminism in the feminist movement. I'm equal. I'm equal to a man. Okay, well, praise the Lord. Oh, I don't have an argument. I love you, okay? And you know, to be equal, though, I have to do the same thing that a man does. Well, what does that mean? Well, I can join the army. Okay, well, I'm not. I've already done my time, baby, you know? Did you understand? I'm going to go out there and fight a war. Well, okay, I don't understand all that. You know, or I'm going to be a police officer, and I thank God for our police officers, if they're women or men, but in a way, I still don't understand. I'm not, okay, but behind all it is this. This way, I'm equal with a man. But here's the devil, see, they're believing the devil's lies. In the eyes of God, man and woman are already equal. Do you see the deception there? It's just crazy. You know, Phyllis Schlafly said this in the book, I just read this book not too long ago, Who Killed the American Family? She says this, the feminists write articles and books filled with phrases such as the end of man, men are not necessary. Do you see the same attitude existed in Ephesus? Because of Diana, the goddess. See, she was supreme. And so nothing has changed. There's nothing new under the sun. Amen? Now, look at the second reason in verse 14. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. In other words, she sinned. Now, I've heard it said in some circles in Christianity, well, you see, the reason that a woman should never have authority at all or teach God's word is because Eve was deceived. And I said, well, what does that mean? And they go, well, all women are like Eve. Don't you know that? They're gullible. They're so easily led astray into error. You know, they're just easily deceived. But men, you know, they're not. No. It says in Genesis 3:1, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to Eve, he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now listen, what every woman should know. Don't forget this, women. The first person ever attacked on this planet was a woman. The first person on this planet who was ever spoken to by the wicked one was a woman. Very, very important. The first person ever tempted was a woman. The first person ever deceived was a woman. I'm going someplace. This is not criticism. I'm showing you something. Not only that, the first lie, the very first lie from the father of lies was told to a woman. And the woman was the first person ever to believe a lie. Does that make sense? Now, let's look at it for a moment. You know, it says there, Satan said, God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the serpent said to the woman, well, you will not surely die. Oh, no, that's a lie from Satan. He says, oh, God knows that in the day, Eve, in the very moment that you eat of your eyes will be open. Eve, you're blind. You don't really see clearly. He says, your eyes will be open, and here's what's going to happen. You eat this stuff, you're going to be like God, knowing good and evil. Can you see Eve? Do you not have mercy? Look at her. I mean, here she is. You mean again, God, like God? Well, she was already like God. But she's processing it. Listen to me. Had Eve ever heard a lie in her life? No, never. She never, I mean, can you imagine how that lie, it just, boom, it hit her in her mind, and her mind was going crazy. And I mean, she was just going, oh gosh. I mean, for the very first time, she said, well, who do I believe? Are you listening to me? Who do I believe and who do I trust? And but God said, and so forth. But see, the lie was right there. Listen, who was the first person to disobey God's command? It was a woman. Who was the first person on earth to persuade her husband to sin by partaking of the fruit? It was a woman. You say, well, Bill, are you beating up Eve? What every woman should know and learn and is this. You must beware of lies because Satan is still lying. Do you understand? He's the father of all lies. Listen, and you know what? Maybe you're here and you go, you know what? I feel inferior to man. You're not inferior to man. You should never think that way. Man, you should always boldly confess in your heart who you are in Christ Jesus. Man, you are a new creation just like a man is a new creation. Amen? Oh, listen, man, you're just as justified. If you're married, you're just as justified as your husband. Does that make sense? You're just accepted in the beloved as your husband or any man is as a believer. You're sealed with the Spirit. Loved one, you're seated with Christ right now in the heavenlies. You are complete in Him. Amen. You're co-heirs with Christ. You're fishers of men. You're the ambassadors of Christ. You've been given the ministry of reconciliation, just like a man. You see, you need to know who you are. Unfortunately, when it says that Eve was deceived, it literally should read Eve was totally or completely deceived. Was Adam deceived? No. Adam willfully sinned. Can you see it? There's the tree, there's the serpent, there's Eve, here's the fruit. And she's eaten. And he looks at her. And he says, I can't leave. I can't leave you. Now, that is a man. And he takes, he said, and he knew what he was doing. He willfully, of his own volition, looked into the eyes of Eve and in the hand of Eve, and he took that fruit from her, and he partook. And their eyes were opened, and they both knew that they were naked. Amen. They really got a bad rap there. Loved one, listen to me. Was it Eve's fault? Yes, but listen to me now. It says that Eve was deceived. If a person is deceived, do they know they're deceived? No. And then you go, and even Eve said, I didn't know. Told the Lord. He said, he deceived me. Listen, the Bible says in Romans 5:12, therefore, just as one man, meaning Adam, sin entered the world or the human race, and death through sin, thus death spread to all men because all sinned. So Adam's sin, of course, became mankind's sin because Eve, listen now, women, Eve acted on one sentence from the father of all lies, and that caused the fall because Adam went along with it. Man, listen. Look what happens here in this last verse. Oh, you're talking about a verse that books have been written about. Verse 15. Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing. Everyone say childbearing. Childbearing. If what? Well, if they continue in faith, love, holiness, self-control, or with self-control. Now listen very carefully. If you studied out mythology in the days of Ephesus, here's what you would learn. And that's why this, and this is one of the reasons, one of the reasons that Paul included this in this verse, childbearing, is because Artemis or Diana, both the same, they were considered, especially in Ephesus, Diana was considered the protector over all women who were giving birth. Do you understand? She did not ever, according to the myth, she didn't want to ever have children. That's why she asked her father, Zeus, to let her be an eternal virgin, never to marry. She didn't want anything to do with man because she saw that it took 9 days for her twin brother, Apollos, to be delivered. Does that make sense? crazy, but it's not true. That's a lie, okay? I mean, I'm just showing you something. That's why Paul put that in there. Does that make sense? To refute the false teaching that was going around. In other words, if you're going to be saved in childbearing, there's only one Savior. There's only one Savior. It's not Diana. It's not Artemis. It's Jesus Christ. Amen? And that's what Paul, he says, listen, you got to stop this false teaching, Timothy. But what does this scripture mean? Look at it again. It says, nevertheless, she, I believe that means Eve, it says, shall be saved in childbearing if they, meaning Adam and Eve, continue to do the following. But listen carefully. What does saved mean? Can a woman be saved in childbearing? I mean, salvation? No. What happens if a woman can't have a baby? How can she get saved? And plus, that makes it mean salvation is now a work and it's not faith through grace. Does that make sense? So we know that's not what this verse means, okay? So here's what you have to do. If you go back to the original language, the original writings, here's what you're going to find. You're going to find that right before the word childbearing, there's going to be a definite article. And that article is the, okay, meaning the childbearing, meaning a particular one-of-a-kind childbearing. And who would that child be? The Lord Jesus Christ. So what does this scripture do? It takes us back to the first promise given by God in the Bible, Genesis 3:15, where he says this, and I will put enmity or hostility between you and, meaning you, Satan and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. Now listen, the next seed there is capital S. So we know that Abraham's seed was Christ. Amen? Okay. And he says, he shall bruise your head or crush your head, and you shall bruise his heel, speaking of the crucifixion. Now, listen to what the Lord says to Eve because of what she's done. God said to the woman, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire, that means you helping or prompting Adam to sin, your desire shall be for your husband. You overstepped your boundaries. You broke my command. And he shall rule over you. That doesn't mean he's a tyrant. It means he rules in love. Amen? Now, the direct result of the sin in the garden of eating the fruit, the pain of childbirth. Why? God says, every time a woman feels that, especially Eve, you're going to remember that you disobeyed. You didn't obey me. But see, this is deeper than I know how to teach, because in the garden right here, after the fall, this is when the battle of the sexes actually began. This is when everything got off base. Does that make sense? And so confusion about God-given roles and all that came after the fall, and the tendency to want to dominate one another came right there. I want you to listen to me because I'm closing. God-given delegated authority never means superiority to the man or to the woman. Amen? Man, I have a role to fulfill. I am a man. I didn't choose to be born a man, but that's, God said, no, Bill, I knew you before the foundations of the world. I have chosen you in him, just like he did the women. Does that make sense? Okay, I'm going to fulfill my role. I want to do what God wants me to do. And women, you should feel the exact same way. Listen, God doesn't favor men over women. God loves us all equally, and we are all one in Christ. And that is what every woman should know. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for this day. I pray over all the women that are listening live and those that are in this congregation. If they've been wounded by pastors, wounded by the church, wounded by men, if they feel inferior, Lord, lift that lie, lift that burden right now, and let them walk boldly in Christ Jesus, in his love, in his joy, in his power. And Lord, thank you for your word. We praise you for it, Lord. And we love you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. God is good.
Pastor Bill's 1 Timothy series continues on our Monday broadcast. So please enjoy your weekend and join us again on Monday. Amen. Thanks everyone for listening this week. So long for today. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.